Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury. Welcome to this ASI cast. At the International Television and Video Conference in Budapest last November, Frank Clausen, director of Kantar Gallup in Denmark, and Alexander Nielsen, the chair of the Danish Television Audience Measurement, or TAM, committee, outlined their plans for a hybrid system due to go live at the beginning of this year. It's fair to say that there was a degree of scepticism at the time as to whether this ambitious project would be delivered to such a tight deadline. We thought it would be of interest to see how things have been going, and in this ASI cast, our research director Richard Marks asks Alexander Nielsen where they are now and how the new service is being received in the marketplace.
Okay, well, Alex, welcome to the podcast. And we're here because you went live with a new video measurement system for Denmark in January. Now, I know it's a hybrid system. So to start off with, can you just talk to us about what are the various sources of data that you are bringing together into this new hybrid system?
Yes, well, thank you very much for inviting me for this interview. The new video measurement system in Denmark consists of combining, you can say, four different sources. The first and very, very important source is the people meter panel. Okay, so all the other subsequent sources I'm going to be talking about basically build upon the people meter panel. So we have a people meter panel of 1,200 households equal to about 2,600 individuals. Besides that, we have a digital meter panel, which is also a gold standard panel, meaning that we have very, 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 you say, stringent quality measures to ensure that we know exactly who's watching what. And then on top of that, we have two additional digital sources. We have a web profile panel, which is more of a cookie-based panel, which consists of around 25,000 people, 25,000 to 28,000. And then we also use census data, which is in effect traffic counting data. So it's these four sources, the people meter panel, the digital meter panel, the web profile panel, and then census data. Those are the four sources that are the say the backbone of the new hybrid measurement system.
Now, it's interesting because we know that, and obviously you'll know from being at ASI conferences, that there are a number of countries at various stages of introducing hybrid system. What's particularly interesting, I think, about your system is the fact that you've actually got four components, because the first two components, the people meter panel and the digital meter panel, you've concluded in Denmark that you do not think, and correct me if I'm misunderstanding, but you do not think it is fair on respondents to ask them to have a people meter and then also to have virtual meter and metering on their mobile devices. Can you talk a bit more about how you reached that conclusion? Because obviously that is a slight point of difference to, for example, Barb's Dovetail announcement recently. So I'd be interested to know how you reached that conclusion.
That's a very, very good question. We reached that conclusion based on experience. If you go back to the years 2012, 2013, we implemented the virtual meter within the existing people meter panel in Denmark. And we have had actually, in that sense, a cross-platform measurement in Denmark since 2013. Mm. You can say we have just been very modest about it. And the reason for that is that the actual numbers, the actual figures flowing through the system based on the virtual meter were lower than expected. So I think it's fair to say that one of the very important learnings that happened due to this implementation was that compliance was affected by this. And there was also a knowledge amongst all the parties in the steering committee here. Maybe I should just make that absolutely clear that I am here representing eight different parties. That is DRTV, that's TV2 in Denmark, it's MTG, it's Discovery Networks, it's Viacom, Fox, and Disney and also Turner. So you say all these eight broadcasters are in the steering committee having frequent meetings about this. And there was also a learning that the level of detail, the granularity of putting it into the existing panel was not sufficient. Mm-hmm. So that's why that we chose to have it in a different panel, to have an increase of quality and also to have the ability to report on events of a smaller magnitude than otherwise a panel technology would enable.
So when you come on to the bringing these together, the and people often debate whether the right word for this, but let's use fusion. When you're coming to fuse your four sources together, by separating out the digital meter panel, you've obviously got that benefit you talked about. What you haven't got is obviously an overlap between the two to calibrate to. So in terms of when you bring the whole thing together, how are you working out the reach across the different devices? Is this something that's inherent in the way that you're doing that calibration and fusion?
Well, there is actually around 150 households which do have both devices in them, so to speak.
Okay.
Yeah, so we do have a reference group, and that is what I say. That is a very, very important part of the whole calibration, the whole fusion process that is enabled. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So presumably you're producing a data set on a daily basis that you're fusing together from these various points. What metrics are you actually able to report? What are your clients getting in terms of the breakdowns, and what are they able to see? Particularly, I'm interested in terms of how you're handling programming versus advertising in the new system.
Well, I would be happy to get to that, but let's start with the points where you can say that the fusion is very, very certain, and that is with the time, the whole viewing data. Okay, mm-hmm. So if we just for a second forget about advertising and programs and are looking at the actual calibration, then the way that it's working on is that it focuses upon channels, it focuses upon day parts, and effectively it sort of takes data from the whole online side of the sources, and then it simply says, okay, these are the donors, and then we find, you can say, the recipients in the people meter panel, and that is happening on a daily basis, and then that is then ensured that the sort of the level then corresponds with the census data, and that the reach levels also correspond with some of the modeling around reach levels that we have both in the census data and in the digital meter panel, because it's very, very important that when you do this kind of fusion, that was really also one of the learnings that we had during the whole implementation phase, that we do not want any of these key metrics to go haywire. Because that would really, really hurt the credibility of the ratings currency. But because that we do it in this way, very much focusing upon day parts and channels, it means that all the basic metrics that you have, be it ratings, reach, share, and so forth, that is available to clients in Denmark on a daily basis.
Yeah. Interesting. And so as part of that, are you reporting effectively a deduplicated reach across various platforms? So if I'm sitting there looking at my program overnight, am I able to break it out by smartphone only, tablet only, TV, etc.? Is that part of the delivery that's launched in January?
Yes, you can effectively go in and then sort of see, okay, on a given day part, on a given channel, you know, how many people, you know, what was the reach, you know, from, you know, 6 p.m. in the evening till midnight for what has been watched on TV set only, and then what has been watched on online devices. Yes.
Interesting. And it's interesting because I was at an event, I think it was around about this time last year when Kantar were there and said that announced that the new panel was being built and would be going live in January. At the point, I thought that seemed very ambitious. You've done it nonetheless, which is quite an achievement. But what would you say have been the biggest technical challenges you've encountered in the build-up? What were the biggest threats to you being able to go live successfully in January that you encountered?
Well, I would say that the biggest threats that we have had has been the very, very interesting, almost philosophical point now, that once you add a strong digital viewing to your daily ratings currency, then what you're also adding is that you're enabling, you say, a whole industry, and also internally at the different parties. You know, we have our digital departments, and they have their own reporting systems. So the big challenge has been to sort of understand why sometimes different figures differ during the whole testing phase. There might be, you know, companies that have Omniture, or they have, I don't know, Silverlight, or they have Google Analytics. You know, there's all these different kinds, or Adobe, all these different kinds of digital ways of implementing your own tags in your own players. And of course, you're looking for something that reminds you of your own internal numbers. So it's been very, very interesting, I feel, as a researcher to follow this, also because the different parties have different ways of implementing things. So you can say some of the threats has really been the fact that there are other numbers available that are supposed to tell the story about the same thing that now our vendor here, Kantar Gallup in Denmark, is now reporting officially. So getting your head around that and understanding why sometimes there are differences in these numbers, that has taken a lot of time. And also, of course, finding out that, whoops, you know, there might be an error for a given event, a given file, a given entity on an online player that is not being registered properly, effectively meaning that you are underestimating the online viewing. Getting your head around all those different possibilities and finding solutions for them, that has taken a lot of time. But I must say, compared to the market as a whole, then the eight parties that I mentioned a moment ago have been very, very firm on trying to inform all the users as strongly as possible about these changes, making them understand that we're going from a single source people meter panel to a hybrid based measurement, and also getting them on board with a new methodology has been very, very important. Also meaning that the questions that we've got here in the new year have been very practical in that sense, rather than questioning the whole methodology or something like that.
I know it's early days, but would you be able to get any feedback yet on what the impact on the market has been in terms of how people are using the data, how it's been received? Obviously, you mentioned the challenge that the way that TV reports in effectively a minute by minute average fashion does produce different results. It's not necessarily wrong results. It's just, as I was saying to someone recently, what research is doing is effectively measuring something, and there are different ways of measuring the same thing. They're not necessarily contradictory. They're just looking at different aspects
exactly
of the same behavior. Is the market gradually understanding that?
Yes, I definitely feel that we as a steering committee have been very much responding to a need in the market to improve the ratings currency. So in that sense, it's been a very, very positive response. But there, I mean, just to get back to my point about some of the practical issues, one of the things that I maybe didn't point out so strongly at the presentation in November, when I did the presentation with Frank Clausen, who is the director of the Kantar Gallup then what we saw there was that in order to really make this a proper measurement of, you know, all kinds of, you know, video content, TV content, then what we're seeing is that it was necessary to add in persons from non-TV households. Okay, so effectively what happened on January 1st was that the universe changed. And well, I'll be honest with you saying that the questions that we have received about this universe change have been you know, larger in number than I had anticipated. And of course, viewing at it now, I can certainly understand that that this means a lot, of course, for a lot of the reporting system. But effectively, what happened was that the universe, if you're talking about 3+, it was enlarged by about 7%. Because that was the number of persons in non-TV households who were added to it. Because, of course, these people are, in fact, viewing television. They just don't have a TV in their household, but they're viewing television through their laptops and their tablets and their smartphones. And now we are getting that into the measurement, yes.
Yeah, so, it's really great that you're leading the way in doing that, because if you remember at the ASI in Budapest, Roberto Candel from the EBU was questioning what on earth is a TV home nowadays when every device can receive television. So, but I can imagine there are challenges, because obviously you're increasing the coverage, but you may be diminishing the average hours that people used to be seeing per household if you're adding in homes that don't have TV sets. It's an interesting challenge, but the system itself sounds extremely well advanced from what you're saying. An interesting point, there's been a lot of debate over the probably the last few months, in certainly in the UK and the US, around the way that Facebook and Google are reporting their video metrics, and, you know, issues around transparency and how those compare to TV. Have there been any discussions or interactions with Facebook and Google and companies like that about the new measurement system? Is it something they might be interested in the future in Denmark?
Well, looking forward, that then I have no doubt that you know, discussions and dialogue will actually happen. Just to make it clear, from a political standpoint, then the steering committee has agreed upon that I'm not supposed to mention any you know, outside possible partners by a name, but I think there is no doubt that having this in place now, using the tagging technology as it is, providing numbers to the market in, you know, by a third party in a credible way, that is something that hopefully will, you know, gather interest and will be something that will be a benefit for the Danish, well, both in that sense, the editorial content market, but of course also the whole commercial market. Being able to use this methodology to have proper, you know, daily, weekly campaign reaches over three weeks. You know, you can split it by, as we talked about earlier, split it by TV sets, split it by online devices. I mean, that is definitely interesting. And we have also seen, increased international attention since the launch. Yeah.
Mm. Well, I'm not surprised, because we in the ASI community have been talking a lot about different approaches to hybrid systems, and there does seem to have been a gradual consensus that this approach that you've described is the way forward. So it's great to see it actually live and in action. So we'll be, I think, if you don't mind, we'll be coming back to you perhaps a bit later in the year, just to continue to see how it's going as presumably the clients get used to using the data, and perhaps there may be some really interesting case studies emerging looking at the shape of viewing in Denmark as a result of this new single measurement you've got of all video. So excellent stuff. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast. Thanks for making the time, and hopefully we'll report back on how Denmark's leading the way in this measurement a bit later in the year.
Well, thank you so much for having me.